It is 8:36 here on the morning show. Ashley and Brian with you. And right now, Kelly Diaz from CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates, is joining us this morning. Kelly, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much.
So I guess first, if people have not heard us talking with you or about CASA in the past, tell us what the group is and what you all do.
Sure. So CASA stands for Court-Appointed Special Advocates. And what we do is we recruit, train, and support volunteers to become advocates for abused and neglected children going through the court system.
And so, you know, I should note, for what it is worth, yesterday we spoke with Jennifer Wolf, who's running for local office, and she is one of your advocates, a volunteer, and she is very effusive about the program, really has loved being a part of it, and we'll talk more about recruitment later. You could get that that same feeling as well. But first up, you've got your superhero run coming up. Tell us about that.
Yes, we do. So we have our fifth annual superhero run coming up on Saturday, November the 2nd. It will be held at Percival's Island, downtown Lynchburg. And you can sign up right now. We have, I believe it's two kids heats, and then we have an adult, you know, adults can run it as well. We have a 5K run and walk, and then we have a 1 mile kids run.
Very good. Now, you call it superhero run. Do people dress up for it by any chance?
They do. They dress up in all kinds of things. We have a costume contest, which is really fun. So people get really creative. It's a great reusage of Halloween costumes.
Right.
So you don't have to dress up as a superhero, but you are absolutely welcome to. And if you don't want to dress up, you're welcome to do that too.
And now this is obviously a fundraiser for CASA. Do people do they get pledges? Do they just pay the fee? How does that work?
Right. So if you go online and sign up, we have a website. It's LynchburgSuperheroRun.com, and that's where you can sign up for the run or walk. And you can also, so that's $30 to sign up for adults and $15 for kids. But you can also have a fundraising page and win all kinds of things through doing that.
All right, very good. And that's LynchburgSuperheroRun.com is the website?
Yes.
Now, you all also are in the midst of a recruitment drive.
We are. We are in the midst of a recruitment drive. We always need new advocates for the children that we serve. Last year, we served 357 children with about 88, 89 advocates. But we had about 200 children that we weren't able to serve. So our goal is to have children not on a waiting list, but to have advocates on a waiting list.
And, I mean, you say 357, 88, 89. So, I mean, you're talking about four kids per person.
Right.
I mean, do they get apportioned out that way? Does each individual decide, hey, I can only help one, or I can do two, or I can do five? How does that work?
Some of our seasoned advocates, they will take on more than one case at a time. Our new advocates, we try to just get them to stick with one case, for their first one especially. But some of the ones who have been there for a while, they are willing to take on multiple cases.
So let's talk about the process. Mm-hmm. If someone thinks this might be something I want to be a part of, but I'm not sure. Do you have some kind of an orientation meeting? How does that work?
Yeah, so we have, the first step would be an information session. Our next information session is coming up on Saturday, October the 19th. It'll be at 10 a.m. in our downtown location in the Monument Terrace building in our office. So that's the first thing. You go to that, it's about an hour long. We review exactly what it means to be a CASA. You get to ask questions, and like I said, it's about an hour long. After that, the next step, if you want to move forward, is you would fill out an application, and then you go through a screening process with us, and then we have a 7-week training class, which I'm actually currently going through because our staff goes through that training class as well. So you go through a 7-week training class, which includes 2 live court proceedings, and then after that, you would be inducted in a courtroom, and then you would take your first case.
And how much time, say in a given week or month, would people expect to spend on a case, and how long do cases typically last?
So we say about 15 to 20 hours a month is the typical volunteer time. Obviously, that can be more if you're dealing with multiple children or you have multiple cases. also, the average case is, we say, about 11 to 14 months.
And now, this is not legal representation of the child, but tell us what the CASA is expected to do in court.
Right. So the CASA is expected to visit the child twice a month. So the main thing is you want to build a relationship with this child. Everyone in their life has let them down, and so we certainly don't want to be someone else who does that. The next thing that you do is investigate. That's a big part of this role. You're investigating. You have access to, with your court order, you have access to the child's school records, medical records. You're interviewing the biological parents, the foster parents, anyone involved in this child's life who can give you insight into what the best decision is to make for this child.
You know, I guess something there, it's, you know, to some degree, you'd probably want to talk to the child, but it's one thing if the child is 12, right. It's another if the child is 2.
Correct.
How do you sort of suss that out? I mean, it's kind of a sliding scale or a continuum almost.
Absolutely. So a lot of times if the child is 2 or 12, we encourage our CASAs to go to, say, if there's a visitation time with its parents, then you would go and just kind of see how that interaction goes and see how that kind of goes. There's just many telltale things that you learn in training to look for about risk factors and stress and different things that happen and that you can see as young as 2. It's amazing. Like I said, I've been going through the training and I'm only in the second week of it, and I've learned so much.
And so when the advocates go to court on behalf of the child, I mean, do they just speak up first? Does the judge have a certain time they want to hear from them, the court? Do they talk all the time sometimes? Are they just a witness? I mean, not a witness, right. But just an observer, I guess.
Correct. So our CASAs all have to write a court report, and our advocate managers help them to write that court report, and you learn how to write that in your training as well. Every time that you go to court, you have an advocate manager with you, so you're never alone. But that court report is... basically, you are giving all the information that you have found to that judge. So, and the judges have said that they read that court report from the CASA before they read anything else. they said that it reads like a narrative, and they know that you know that child better than anyone. That child is your one case. DSS and GALs are often overwhelmed with many cases, but for a CASA, they have that one case. So the judge knows that you know that child, and they really take that into consideration and value what you have to say. Sometimes they'll say, you know, does the CASA have anything to add? So you would be welcome to speak, but you aren't required to.
And once again, when is the next time people can stop in and have the orientation, the
initial
information
processing? Session?
Yes.
Yes, it's Saturday, October the 19th at 10 a.m. in our downtown location at 901 Church Street. And you can sign up for that through Facebook or on our website at cvcasa.org.
And the website, cvcasa.org. Are there any other ways people can volunteer with CASA? Maybe you don't have the 15 or 20 hours a month, but you've got a Saturday afternoon or Wednesday nights or something like that.
Yes. So we oftentimes have, like our superhero run. That's a huge one. You can go on our website as well to sign up for that. We have different events throughout the year that we definitely need help with. And sometimes we have things going on in our office that we may need help with. And we keep a list of volunteers who are willing to help with those things as well.
All right. Very good. And once again, you find out more about everything we've been talking about this morning at cvcasa.org. Kelly Diaz, Recruitment and Development Coordinator with Court Appointed Special Advocates. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much, Brian.
It is 8:49 here on The Morning Show. Ashley and Brian with you. Our thanks to Terry Volkswagen Subaru for sponsoring the program. Find them online at terryautogroup.com. See all of their new Volkswagens and Subarus there, plus their nearly 500 used cars as well. And you can filter them by make, model, year, price, whatever it is. Find the car that's right for you at terryautogroup.com. Coming up tomorrow on the program, another of the three candidates for Campbell County Sheriff, Whit Clark, is going to join us. Also, local author Marcy Jones about her book Shattering, her family's experience with the mental health system. And also then we will speak with Doug Shook. He is the superintendent, of course, of Bedford County Schools. We're going to talk about accreditation with him. A couple of other things as well. We'll see how Forest Middle School is coming along. Maybe the state of some elementary schools with him. They went through rather protracted and I think for some people painful closure of elementary schools a few years ago, and that might be back on the table now. So all of that coming up tomorrow on the program. All right, so some fun stories here to finish off the day. No more impeachment or power outages or whatever else. Although I will just say this, you heard the promo from Red Eye. I'm going to guess the polls are not going to be looking that good for Joe Biden. Elizabeth Warren is the ascending candidate for the Democrats right now. All right, find this next story on Twitter, and you'll want to see the picture that comes with it. And this from Reuters, Dateline, Allegheny County, Pennsylvania. Holly Persick was driving to the library when she noticed a strange smell and noise coming from her car. And in fact, once she got to the library, it smelled like it was burning and there was some smoke coming out from under the hood. So Holly, being a married woman, did what married women do. She called her husband, said, "There's something wrong with the car. Come and take care of it." Her husband, Chris, being a wise man, headed straight to the library, popped the hood of the SUV. It's a Kia SUV. And said he found, and he is not kidding because we have the picture evidence, more than 200 walnuts packed in and around the engine with a ton of grass as well. And apparently what happened here is Miss Persick left her SUV parked over the weekend, didn't take it anywhere, and a local enterprising squirrel decided this would be the perfect place to stock up his winter food supply. So somewhere in the Allegheny, Pennsylvania area, there's a very angry squirrel right now explaining to Mrs. Squirrel why there are no walnuts.
Right. Oh, my. And there's so many. And they're so big, too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like I've seen the chopped walnuts that you actually eat.
Yeah, these you don't want to eat these ones.
These are just a whole giant. Mm-hmm. They're still kind of green. They almost look like green apples just chilling in, underneath somebody's hood. Squirrels are bad about that stuff. I actually found a dead squirrel in my car. Not in my car, under the engine, the compartment. And there was actually right beside the radiator.
Was it trying to get warm or something?
Possibly, yeah. It was in cooler weather time. I remember having a very bad smell. And I couldn't locate anything. I thought maybe, did I hit an animal?
Right.
My dog kept going crazy around my car. I couldn't figure out why. Finally, you know. I tell my dad, like I left it at the house one day, and I said, "Can you take a look and see if you can find anything? Because it smells so bad, I can't find anything." And he had to take some parts out, and he looks behind the radiator, and he's like, "There's a dead squirrel down in there." Had to try to get it out with a coat hanger. Yeah, it was bad. So they can get up in there and wreak some havoc.
Yeah, I've never had any kind of animal problem like that with a car. I guess because with a squirrel, I mean, I hit a squirrel once and killed it, but you know, it didn't hurt the car.
That's common problem.
Although I remember just speaking of Terry down there, getting routine maintenance, and there was a woman who was waiting for her car too. And so we started talking for a minute, and she had a similar problem. She had a Subaru. I'm not sure. It was some kind of a station wagon or one of those little SUVs or something that have Outbacks or Foresters, or I guess. And she had not driven it for a couple of months. And it turned out, long story short, that she got in it and something was wrong. And so it turned out that a family of mice had moved into the car and had nested in there. And see, Ashley's making her cute face. Oh, isn't that sweet? No.
No.
No, it wasn't. No, because mice are not that careful, like about where they go to the bathroom,
mm-mm,
you know, and that sort of stuff.
They gnaw on
and
things,
so, yeah,
too.
Yeah, they had chewed through wires. I mean, I don't think she was even able to get the car to start properly. I think they ended up having it towed in because they had done all of this damage to the car just over the course of a couple of months when she hadn't driven it.
Man, maybe at least, I guess if you have to park a vehicle for a long time, maybe try to move it at least periodically or check it for squirrels and mice and bees.
Yeah,
bees really like to get into the gas cap area and little gas hatch there in cars that have sat for a while. You open them up and it's a wasp flies out of your face. It's awful.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess you probably shouldn't let the gas just sit in the tank all that long either. But nonetheless, yeah, I was very happy just to be there for, you know, an oil change and an inspection when she's telling me all the stuff she had to go through the car. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Oh, no.
I was all I could do not to say, well, better you than me, which people don't like very much.
No.
All right, this story from Philadelphia, because where else could it be? CBS Philly, they have the Wells Fargo Center up there now. That's where, the Flyers play. I don't know if that's where the 76ers play now as well. And just to set the stage for you here, you'll recall when the Eagles, the NFL team, played in Veterans Stadium, there was one season where they actually had a jail at the stadium. They'd set it up in the basement of the stadium because the fans in Philadelphia have about the worst reputation of fans in the country.
Oh, yeah. All that brotherly love.
Yes. These are the people, you know, who threw snowballs at Santa Claus and drove him off the field in an NFL game once, and they've done worse. And so, as I say, they had the jail there, which, let's face it, mostly for people who've had a few too many. I'm going to guess they didn't put an awful lot of sober people into the jail. So the Wells Fargo Center now has what they call the disassembly room. And this is what we more commonly known as rage rooms. Are you familiar with that?
I've never heard of that
term. This is where you pay, say, $50, and for half an hour you get a sledgehammer and you get to smash up, say, old TVs, dish sets. You can pick up a mirror and smash it into the wall, all this sort of stuff. And we haven't talked about them in a couple of years, and they had been very much sort of a fad business a couple of years ago. I don't know if they still are as popular now as they had been. But, of course, it had to be Philadelphia where you get your first ever rage room at a pro sports venue.
Oh, yeah. And that just sounds awesome. Some days I'm thinking I need a rage room maybe in this very building. Maybe take a portion of the basement out to where I can just go break things instead of screaming at people or kicking computers around. Maybe I go do that down there with things right. that aren't important to the business.
And you can also, one thing they will also give you if you request it is items that have the visiting team's logo on them. You know, so if the Flyers take a real bad home loss to the Penguins, you know, maybe you can get like some Penguins coffee mugs and just, you know, smash the crap out of them.
That's a fair point.
If you want to.
Yeah.
So and this also, in case you want to let your friends watch you, they have a viewing area for the rage room, which I'd never heard as part of the experience before. And so, yeah, if you are headed there, if you just go to just Google Wells Fargo Center, go to the website and you can set up some time in the rage room. As I say, only in Philadelphia. All right. One more story here. Actually, remember the Tide Pod Challenge?
Mm-hmm.
And this was not millennials. This was Generation Z kids. Most, there's probably some millennials doing it. But where the kids would chomp on the Tide Pod and then realize you really don't want to chomp on a thing full of laundry detergent.
Right. That might kill you.
And so this went around. It was one of the challenges. We've got another one to tell you about. We won't get to it today. But Glenlivet, the Scotch maker, as part of Cocktail Week, which is going on in London, has had these little clear, like little packages, and they're made from seaweed, and they are filled with different brands of the maker's whiskey. And so you don't need a glass or a stirrer or anything else. You just pop the thing in your mouth, bite down on it, and you get an immediate shot of Glenlivet, whether it's, you know, I don't know, seven or whatever you do with Scotch. I don't like Scotch, so I don't really drink it very much. And they're being called alcoholic Tide Pods. And these things have caused an uproar on Twitter and other social media with people saying, what are you thinking? You know, didn't you see the Tide Pod thing? Now, all of a sudden, you're just going to have people chomping down on these things. And, you know, kids are going to want this and all this kind of stuff. And the secret here is the people at Glenlivet, they're not just selling them. You can only get them at approved events in London, and it's only for adults. There are no 11-year-olds chomping down on them. I don't know that they'll become, you know, any kind of big consumer product or not, but I guess maybe we will see. It doesn't seem terribly appealing to me, I have to say.
Yeah, it seems like the adultiest of jelly beans kind of in a way. To me,
mm-hmm.
rather than a Tide Pod. And
yeah, I think Booze Pod would be better.
Booze Pod, yeah, I like that. Maybe trying different flavors other than Scotch. Maybe put some Fireball in there, and then we've got
Man,
a game changer.
Man, people love that stuff.
Oh, they love it, yeah. Game changer.
All right. Coming up on 9 o'clock here on The Morning Show WIQO, enjoy Clark Howard and the rest of your day. Ashley and I are back with you tomorrow starting at 7 a.m.